Good evening, everyone. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to begin. Welcome. This is the Planning Commission, June 2nd at 6:30. Tonight we have a single major. We're not on?
No, it's red.
How about now? All right. Excuse me. Tonight we have a single major item on the agenda. So what the process is going to look like tonight is staff will present an overview of the item. The applicant will be allowed to present their item. Then we'll open the floor for public comment. During that time, the members of the public will each have 3 minutes to give their name, address, and their comments about the item. This is opportunity for the public to make their statement, and it's not a back and forth opportunity. Commissioners and staff can directly consult with the applicants in front of everyone. Then staff will provide their recommendation and we'll vote to approve it or deny with discussion. So John, could you please start us off with a roll call?
Yes, sir. Commissioner Teal?
Here.
Commissioner Hirshhorn?
Here.
Commissioner Puzio?
Here.
Commissioner Tomlinson?
Here.
Commissioner Lentz?
Here.
Shan.
Present.
And Chairperson Wells.
If everyone would please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Our first item on the agenda is the approval of minutes from our last meeting was March 3rd, 2026. Members of the commission, if you could take a moment to review the minutes. And then if anyone has a motion.
Chairperson Well, I make a motion that we accept the minutes as information.
A second.
Okay. We have a second. All in favor of approving the minutes as displayed here? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Passes unanimous. Okay, new business. We have agenda item SP 2016-02 Timbers Edge Innovative District Major Change. Staff, could you please present an overview?
Yes, sir. Commissioners, on your screen in green is the location. This is 612 Neely Ferry Road. This property, the backstory, was annexed and rezoned back in 2022 as a innovative development. This was a proposed as an age-restricted 55-plus single-family detached development. With a maximum density or maximum unit count of 50 units. This went all the way through master site plan and then the project pretty much stalled. 2024, we had a major change to attempt to remove the rear loaded lots, alleys, and remove the age restriction. What is being presented tonight is pretty similar to that. On your screen is the currently approved concept plan. What has changed is that the very front lot, there is a single family home that's in that screen right there. That was on the original plan to stay intact. What they are presenting tonight is a new concept plan, statement of intent that removes that structure, adds a couple more units there. The rear alleys are being removed, and this is what they're proposing. The layout with the homes will still be front-loaded or be along the front with the garages in the back. So they're still staying with the intent of having the garages in the rear. The way they're going to be accessing that would be side driveways that kind of hook around the backside of it. You can see the little small pink squares. Those are the garages. Some of these are detached. Some of these are attached. They're still staying in the theme of having that front boulevard appeal as you come down the roads through there. So that's why they're trying to a little bit deviating from the original plan. So here they're proposing 50 units. They're still keeping the walking aspects through the community. They're extending the sidewalk from the development to Plain Elementary. That was on the original annexation request, so they're still keeping with that. So basically just removing the age restriction, bringing the unit count up a little more from the previous plan, and having the garages in the rear. So this is some of the layout, the plot examples. This is one of their blueprints. This is one of the renderings they're kind of looking at. They have some other ideas right now. They're just kind of a general idea of what these will look like. They did have a traffic impact study presented to you. That was in your meeting packet as well. That's kind of offset the concern with removing the age restriction. So that's kind of the short. This is 18 acres in total, two parcels. And that's it.
Members of the commission, does anyone need to disclose any ex parte or conflict of interest? And John, have the members of the public been duly notified of this as well?
This one did not require that.
Okay, cool.
Did no posting. It was posted in the paper and on our website, but per our zoning ordinance, nothing is required at the site.
Got it. Okay. Now, can we please ask the applicant if they're present to make a presentation statement?
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Chris Laney, 121 West Stone, Greenville, South Carolina, Unit 12. again, my name is Chris Laney, along with David White. We are both Greenville County residents and run a land development firm by the name of Southern ID. We've developed multiple neighborhoods in the Greenville County region, many of those in the city of Greenville. And we try to obtain kind of creative, walkable lifestyle communities around the community, all within Greenville County. We are not builder beholden. We are a land development firm. We work with 5 to 6 different regional, national, local home builders. So we kind of have a concept of land first, product second, builder third, which is kind of backwards from some people. But we do try to really figure out what should be the right product, the placement, and then figure out which builder is the best to execute that. You did see their Toll Brothers logo. They have, in our opinion, the best product to fit this, and so we do have a right of first refusal with Toll Brothers, fully disclosed, so I wanted to let you know that. The reason we're here tonight is really to find a solution for the Anders family. Just to give you a little background, in 2 weeks, the Anders family will have owned this property for 57 years, which is pretty unique. But unfortunately, for the past 5 years, they've kind of been in ID purgatory, if you will. The age restriction of the community has really become a marketable issue. And I can go into further details if anybody has any questions on that. But for regional and national home builders, it's a requirement and a restriction that just creates complication, especially on a project that's only 50 units. We see typically in the market those are multi-hundred unit kind of properties. For example, the Del Webb, not too far from here. So. But we kind of took a step back, and I want to give the City of Simpsonville credit. The recorded public announcements or public meetings for Planning Commission and Council have been wonderful. sometimes you're trying to get up to speed on projects using just minute notes, and it was good to go back and listen to those for multiple iterations of this project. But as John said, what we tried to do was stick as close as we could with the already approved design. As he mentioned, the previous plan that was presented, that was not ours, but it was presented in 2 years ago, it removed the back alleys, but it failed to mention where the garages would be. And so in that plan, they were basically going to a traditional subdivision. And so what we tried to figure out was, can we find a product where we can hide the garages to achieve the look of the alleys without having to have alleys? And so that's what we have done here, and we found a product that will allow us to do that and really fits that quote-unquote innovative design. There's some irony in the fact that the zoning code states innovative design and then says it provides flexibility for planning and development, and yet we've struggled with this. So, but hopefully I think we're there on the alleys. So I want to be in depth, but also be efficient here. So as John said, we're not going over the original statement of intent of 50 homes. We've identified a layout and a lot plan that will allow us to have rear garages that will keep that streetscape looking like they would have alleys. And you do see there lots 34 through 50 are still alley fed. Some of them did actually not change at all. There was no perimeter buffer on the original plan. They actually had the alleys all the way up against the property line. So what we've done is gone back and at least added a minimum of 10-foot buffer around the entire property. Now, we get charged per acre tree we can cut down. So we're going to want to tighten those up as much as we can. And if there's areas where we can increase that, we will. But at a minimum, have a 10-foot landscape strip all the way around. So that was not on the original plan. We've added that. There was comments from Planning Commission, or excuse me, City Council last time about guest parking. We've gone from 6 guest parking spaces to 42. We've updated the full traffic study based on the new layout. The HOA will take the responsibility of the roads, so the road network will not become a liability to the city. Trash has been greatly made more efficient by just one loop for the trash truck, goes down, roll off cans, go back in the garage. In consideration of those additions, also we're taking some off-site water and treating that in the pond in the back. Pond has remained the same. So by doing that, we think we can achieve that cluster feel. And really, at the end of the day, product in our history has shown that product really creates the use from the consumer. And so by having these cluster, by having kind of the age targeted, I think we'll still be able to achieve kind of that without having to have the restriction. These won't be 3-car garages. These won't have swimming pools. These won't have swim tennis. So that's our hope. So with that, the two other questions, just quick things I just want to mention. Looking at the comp plan across the street is low intensity. It's up to 4.4 units an acre, and we're at 2.63. So I think we're well under that and still providing pretty significant open space. So with that, I'll open it up for questions. I've got a couple of boards here, but just really if there were questions on how to access garages and that kind of thing. So, yes, thank you.
Okay, great. You can have a seat, okay. And then we'll call you back up when we come out. We're going to open it now up to public comment. If any members of the public wish to speak. Okay, I will now close public comment. Do you have any closing statements? You can actually come back up now, and then the commission, if you have any questions for the applicant, that would be done.
Yes, sir.
The streets and infrastructure are owned by the, maintained by the HOA. Why is that's? Couldn't that be an expense that they could What's the reasoning?
The reason was in the original statement of intent, it stated those would be owned by the HOA. And so in the last city council meeting, that came up as they had proposed them being public. Some of the city council felt that that was a liability, that if the developer and the owners were willing to take on originally, they should still be wanting to take that on. So, again, it was just part of our what was originally planned and how can we best try to fit that. I don't disagree with you that I would rather them be city-owned. That's kind of why you pay taxes.
Because you're putting a burden on 50 people versus thousands. And if there's a been in the situation before where you can be a heavy burden for a homeowner if it's a major infrastructure repair or repaving or something.
Yeah.
So is this going to be a gated community?
It is not. It's not gated.
Okay. Another question is on the preliminary plat, I see all kind of trees. But on the new plat, they're on each lot, they're all gone. So is that?
It was an artistic representation. This was not an official landscape plan. This was just a plot of the lot boundaries.
So are you planning on putting a tree on each lot?
Correct. So we haven't shown anything on. So we haven't shown any on lot improvements. We haven't shown the house, the driveway, trees, bushes, anything like that. Yes, we obviously will landscape each lot. Okay. Typically, Greenville County minimum is at least 2 trees per lot.
Okay. Just also it on the ID, part of the one of the requirements or preferences is minimize tree and soil removal. Are you going to do a clear cut and a mass grade on this to do it, or are you going to do each individual lot?
No, it will be so.
I mean, there's a lot of trees on there. They're all going to be taken out.
Right. You know, unfortunately, and this usually typically is because of sewer. With sewer and stormwater and the easement requirements required, by the time you get your road in and your lots on grade, yeah. You know, that's why we added the buffer, because there was no buffer. Now, we want clear cut, you know, down, willing cut as much of the pond as we need to in that area, but no, you're correct by stating that the industry standard is mass grading.
Right. It was any attempt made to keep some of the larger trees in your natural areas, like your green space?
We have done that in the past. Once we get out there and assess the trees, as you see, we do have significant green space. If we can identify trees in those areas, we will. We haven't done a thorough analysis of the health of those trees. We know there's some big ones out there.
Yeah.
And we actually did a project recently in Five Forks where we've saved quite a few specimen trees if we can.
Okay. I see a road that's extending off. I can't see the name of it. Right past lot 39. Do you anticipate a road to nowhere? Do you anticipate extending the subdivision in the future?
We don't. That's a fire department requirement.
Okay.
That's typical. Typically, they want a 3-point turn.
Okay.
Now, you could loop back around. But if they got in a situation where they got stuck back there, it's more of a public access situation. The property to the north is owned by the school district. That's actually touches the school district. And then the wedge is actually the original family is retaining some property.
Okay, that makes sense. And one last point is I just heard a conversation about cable TV and phone. And I see you have Charter and AT&T, and you move all the folks move in, and then these utilities come and destroy their lots, because if you run some piping so that they could just pull the lines when it's under development, I think it would save a lot of people a lot of trouble in the future and a lot of headaches, you know. And you could do kind of a mass plan. You got, mm-hmm. what, five utilities now? So why not plan ahead instead of destroying people's lives?
We try to work with them as much as we can. Trust me, they are... We have some of the same feelings that I know some of your constituents do. It's very frustrating when you go spend $100,000 on an entrance landscape package and all of a sudden, without their any notice, all of a sudden they're out there digging. So we do work with them and try to locate them, in the best places possible. They do stand behind the public right-of-way doctrine pretty firmly. So.
Tear up and destroy.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, I like the plan and everything. I think that I like all the green space and everything that you've done. So,
thank you.
That's all I have.
Thank you,
Chris.
Yes, sir. Sorry. Go ahead.
I appreciate the traffic impact study. Also, that's great. With the taking away the alley, does that change the traffic flow at any time with the study or before the study?
No, sir. The traffic study is going to be at your primary entrance and exit. So, once you get in the neighborhood, it's not analyzed from the secondary streets, if you will. It's a primary observer of the primary entrance and exit. And then also, we have a neighbor subdivision across the street, so making sure we have the correct stacking, et cetera, for that.
Okay. Thank you.
That's why if you notice, even though we removed that the house, the previous developer was trying to save that house and kind of come around it, and we just felt like it was better to kind of have a fresh start up there on the front for lots 1, 2, and 3. But if you notice, that road kind of veers up a little bit, and that's engineering to get the correct width between the next subdivision. That's why that it doesn't just go 90 degrees straight across. It's got a little bit of a tick up, if that makes sense. Lots 1 through 7 are a little higher than 8 through 17.
So I have a few questions.
Yes, sir.
This is Howard Lentz. So I'd like to return to that stub that's shown on the north side.
Yes, sir.
It appears that could, though, be tied into, and at a future time could be come. So I live in a subdivision that has one entrance that started out as 77 homes. And is there about 500 now, still with one entrance? I know the traffic studies took that into account, and the fire department has said that it is okay to have 50 homes with just one entrance. Okay. Is there any, and this is probably to staff, is there any restrictions that can be put on that stub is only fire department access?
Can you speak into
my microphone?
Oh, I was actually using this one. I'm sorry. Is there any restrictions that can be put into this that says that stub cannot be used for tie-in and only for fire department access?
It would be notated on the master site plan when it's submitted to us what that design is for. It'll go on the plat as well.
Is that school property that's adjacent to it? So
it's
not likely.
Right now.
Yeah, so it's not likely.
And then the other question, I saw you took out alleys. Are there any sidewalks? You said this is a walkable community.
There are. There are double. Do we end up with, we have double or did we cross the road? I can't remember. I think we added a double one.
Yeah, there's section with double.
Yeah, it's on both sides. We originally just had it on one,
okay.
And it kind of jumped across.
On that one. Okay.
It's with the exception of the ones that are on the alley, because we don't have sidewalks around the open space. But we did. We do a 2-foot curb lawn and a 5-foot sidewalk on both sides.
Yeah, and I do see it's on the other page. And then the last question I have is, I do see your stormwater pond 1,000 miles away from the closest, some of the farthest properties. How are we going to make sure that that water actually gets to the stormwater pond? I know we've met the rules, but are we going to meet the intent?
So, yes. First of all, that's the lowest part of the site. So at the risk of sounding
kind of hard to drive out there right now. But
yeah. It does go down a considerable amount. So that will naturally collect everything back in the back corner. Obviously, we've got a network of storm pipes. The bigger actually issue for this community and one that we've worked through is we're actually taking about 15 acres of water from the school property and a little portion of the Westwood, I believe, neighborhood, kind of down in that valley. And so we've identified how to do that. And because of our pond location, we're actually able to treat more water than is just our subdivision. So from an ecological situation, it actually should be an improvement, or at least not a detriment. And then obviously your creek situation is down there, so that it will flow out, you know, into the creeks. But
I can tell you, I'd rather have the mosquito pit back there as long as we can actually get water to it.
Well,
that's fine.
They would have gotten washed away. The mosquitoes wouldn't have made it the last couple of days. But no, we should have a, you know, be able to make it an amenity. It's a unique kind of situation, and there's a fair amount of property back there. But just with that pinch point, the last applicant had some additional units back there, but it just didn't make sense. So we felt like this was a project that looked correct.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
That's all I have.
Could you provide me some clarification on the location of the garages?
Yes, sir. Let me jump. Apologies for this not being high res, but this is an example of your main street is up here at the top, and then you would have what's called side bys, where you would come in and you can either go straight in a garage, or on some of the units they actually may be attached to the rear of the house. It kind of depends on what the layout of the house is, but either way they're in the back of the yards, or back of the lots, residences. So you've got your perimeter buffer, and then you've either got a detached or an attached garage structure. So you've probably seen this layout in some of, you know, it is not what I would call a typical subdivision layout, but you do see them around town and what I believe to be kind of higher end park-like. This was a streetscape. This one actually is the Tuscan Woods off Hudson Road. And so all of those garages are in the back, but you've got the garages, the driveways to access them. So, you know, looking back and listening to City Council last time, it was the word alley got thrown around a lot, but the bigger concern was not having just an open garage up on the front, in my opinion.
Got it. So then the idea where there was an alley in the old site plan is basically where the garages are now, and then you have little driveways that come all the way back?
Correct.
Got it. Okay. Great.
And so because of that, we've also been able to pick up some what I would call additional private open space. You know, it's actually created a little bit. They're not huge yards by any means. They're 20 by 40, but it gives you a nice little space back there that before would have just been asphalt. So it's not public open space, but it's private usable open space.
Okay. And then the home that's currently at the front of the lot, is the deal already done on that? So that can't mess up the whole site plan already?
Or? Right. It's owned by the landowners.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So that's done deal there. John, with the ID zoning, are they required to stick to the site plan?
Say it again.
Are they required to stick with the site plan with the ID zoning?
This is just a concept plan. What will, if approved, we'll come back before you as their master site plan. We'll have more details to it, and it'll have to mimic what's on this.
Okay, so that's going to come back with a hard site plan we'll vote on?
And that'll have the landscape plan at that point.
Got it. Okay. They chose an ID zoning for this originally? That seems a little odd to me.
I can go into that once his portion is done.
Okay. Gotcha. Any other questions for the applicant?
I have a question. How does the 10-foot buffer work behind the house? I can just envision homeowners saying, that's mine.
It is theirs. No, I mean, it is not theirs. It's actually owned by the HOA.
Okay.
But it's a natural, I mean, in practicality, the way it works is, imagine if you just stopped your lot 10 feet closer to your house than where it ends. And we leave the natural vegetation, you know, if for some reason there's a gap in vegetation, usually we'll come back in and add a couple of trees, but it just becomes a natural buffer.
So it's not sodded and mowed?
No, sir. No, sir.
Okay. So they can put a fence around their property, or?
They can go back to their property line, so it does create that. It does create a little 10-foot gap, and that we've run into this before with Greenville County, and it's the good and bad about buffers.
Okay. I can see it. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Staff recommendation?
Sure. Commissioners, we kind of talked with the applicant prior to this, and what they've kind of proposed is something that still meets, in my opinion, ID. Very creative to kind of solve the problem that came before in the last major change. By removing the alleys in the back, that's less asphalt. That helps with stormwater. The access for the trash is now in the front, or it was in the back, so that made a headache for our trash service. So what they presented to us is still meeting the ID intent. So staff's kind of enthusiastic about that. So we recommend this has to go to council. So we would ask that Planning Commission recommend approval of this major change. To answer your question, Chairman, about the ID, the original plan was they wanted to do our mid at this location. And they only wanted to do exactly what's on that plan, but our mid doesn't, we don't have cluster homes. We don't have cluster development. So what happened if they wanted to annex is our mid, they can develop the whole site, which would put it at 120 homes. So we could not hold them to anything of 45 units. So they came back as ID. They, you know, put a lot of things into it to make it different. Age restricted was one of them. They extended the sidewalk. They did rear loaded garages. So that kind of pushed it into the ID development. So by doing that, that locked them into a maximum of 50 units. So they could never go over that. So they got what they wanted in the original plan with getting the unit count, getting it in the location where they wanted. But unfortunately, it's been kind of, like you said, kind of stuck with somebody that's very creative that can only build to what's been approved. So
That basically allowed us to get a deal together that worked for both parties. Mm-hmm. Get around. Okay. Got it. And then and we'll have the ability to hold them too. The HOA is going to be owning the street, correct?
Correct. That's in there. That was brought up. It's been brought up quite a bit in a lot of annexations with council about the ownership of the roads and just trying to keep up with the roads that we have.
Yep.
Some of them have entertained that this should be something that all developments do. But like the applicant said, I mean, part of paying taxes is that we provide a service. One of those services is roads.
Yep.
But a lot of places on these developments, they want everything to be theirs. They want to maintain their own stuff, and they're notified that when they purchase the house that this is a development that's gated, not gated, private-owned roads, public roads. They are notified that ahead of time, so they know what they're buying into, so they're going to be notified of the HOA fees. The other thing that he hit on I want to mention is that even though the age restriction is gone, this would definitely probably target a certain demographic and the fact that there is no pool, which a lot of families want. So it's definitely geared to it without being tied to it in verbiage. So. And just to remind some of the members, this is just a concept plan. So, I mean, they'll be held to the details of the statement of intent, but the details as far as the landscaping, the mass grading, that stuff will all be handled by Greenville County, stormwater, staff when it comes to reviewing for everything under zoning ordinance. So this is just the design, the theme of what they want to do here. That's what we're looking at.
So clarification on the process then, it's because they are doing a major change to an ID that needed to come to here and then to council.
Correct.
And then assuming both approve, then the hard site plan will come back to here, we'll approve that, and then it goes back to council again.
Correct. Okay. Since council was the original decision maker when it comes to these, anything that deviates from this that I feel or it affects the statement of intent has to come back to Planning Commission.
Got it.
And then council may, again, council will, if approved, council will approve it, and it'll come back for master site plan and other kind of just, you know, catching both sides of that is that it makes sure that they're still, they haven't changed anything. They're not going 52 units. They're not doing anything different. So that's just another catch in our zoning ordinance.
So at what point are the surrounding neighbors notified of these changes? Or they're just, it's already been approved and...
Speak up a little bit.
I said, at what point are the surrounding neighbors notified of these changes?
They're not in this one. Our zoning only requires annexations, rezonings, variances, and special exception. Neighborhood, everyone around there already knows what's going here. It's a maximum of 50 units.
Yeah.
So.
I'm just curious.
Good. Does anyone like to make a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move to approve SP 2026-02 Timbers Edge ID major change.
Second. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. I'd like to make a note as well on the vote that the willingness to maintain the roads by the HOA. I believe council, that's something that they really like, so I'd like that to be included as a note. Okay, great. Let's see here. John, any old business?
Yes.
Old business.
Just for the applicant, the next item, this goes to committee of the whole at the end of this month for their discussion with council. Old business, just kind of want to get everyone's kind of like a house cleaning kind of discussion with everyone about the meeting packets to make sure we're all on the same page when it comes to that. The packets go out the week before. That's the way we've been doing them since 2007. There's not really a set date. It's just trying to get it the week before best we can. It's just myself and Ms. Carter. That's the planning department for 28,000 people. So we try our best to get that. Sometimes we get them things the last minute. We try not to send multiple emails out. We try to do it at one time. So if anyone has any concerns with how early these go out, please let me know. You know, we try to get this out. If it's not enough, then we can make some changes as far as when those go out. But as far as I know, I haven't been made aware of the way we've been doing it, if anything needs to be changed. So I'll open the floor for any thoughts, concerns about that.
Generally, from my standpoint, you get it to us in plenty of time that I was able to visit the site. I was able to visit the site. I was able to review the area, and I had plenty of time personally to do that. I live close, however, so it may not be as easy for others. So for me, it works out fine, John.
I think what you did this time was sufficient. You know, 7 days is what's in the rules and procedures, and I think that worked out great.
Okay.
So. As long as it's 7 days, it gives, say if someone has a wedding or a event they have to go to on the weekend or they're camping, then their weekend's tied up. If they get it Friday night, then they're not going to have time to do it. And it just helps, too. If I have somebody in the community or something that says, you made a decision on this and I didn't have time to research it because I only had 3 days and I was out of town or something, then it's not, that's not an acceptable answer. And that's what's in the code. The South Carolina code as far as packets, you know, I understand if it's a day late because you got tied up or something, but I think that the Tuesday or Wednesday before the meeting would be fantastic.
Okay. Well, I mean, as far as from a staff perspective, the 7 days is not written in there. It just says typically a week.
A week.
So, yeah. I mean, it's just, there doesn't say the first, the Tuesday prior. You know,
it says a week is 7 days.
Typically a week.
Yeah.
So I mean,
so
that's,
what's your proposal? Is the Friday before?
No, I don't want to get you Friday, but Wednesday, Thursday. You know, just for reference, our council gets meeting packets Friday at 5 p.m. and their meeting packets are 13 times larger than ours, and their meetings are 5 days later. So we try our best to get this to you. I mean, this is a very simple item. We've had items in the past that are five annexations, three rezonings, and We've never had this come up. I just want to make sure that...
And I'll echo that. This is a simple item. So if there were three items and we got the Friday or Thursday before,
mm-hmm.
that's we cannot do our job in that short of time.
Okay.
And two, I bring up another point is this. I appreciate this, but I don't need it. I have a digital copy, so you could have something here for me, and then you could leave it for the commissioners so that we're not filling the landfill and using up a bunch of paper and resources, and it could save you time.
Okay.
I mean, technically, I could bring my tablet here and have everything on this, and so it would save you resources because this is a great expense, and I'm just going to take it home and put it in. Eventually, it's going to end up in the landfill. So.
Right. Okay.
Just a suggestion.
Okay.
Mr. Derby, doing a great job. Thank you for all you do for us. And I would second the paper, especially in the traffic study. I know in the email you pointed out page 17.
Yeah.
So in the future, I mean, that's all I would need is page 17 or the summary. So
typically, that's what we do. Didn't mean to do that, but. A lot of times in the past, we used to mail these out to y'all.
Oh, goodness.
And that just came a very big expense, and not everybody has a tablet, so have you had this in front of you just to refresh your memory, having something tangible sometimes. I'm old school, so I like stuff tangible. So I get it. I'm all about saving money, taxpayers, and, you know.
At the very least, we could, at least for me, I could leave it here for the council.
Okay.
And then they could pick it up from this chair.
Okay. All right.
Traffic study.
Again,
sure.
We'll just keep. Please leave me a paper copy. I like.
Okay. No, we'll still do paper copy on the desk. I mean, that's y'all got to have something in front of you, and then if y'all don't show up with a tablet, then you're going to be scrambling. What are we looking at? So, I present you some, you know, snippets of the meeting packet with some illustrations. But if you want to go back and look at it, you're going to have something in front of you. So, this is minimal what we print out cost wise as opposed to mailing it to you. So. Again, Wednesday, Thursday, we try to get that out. Again, we have a larger packet. I'm not going to send you something that big at the last minute. But, again, the way we've been operating since 2007, you know, Wednesday, Thursday before, we sent them out on Friday, and we've never had any concern. And like I said, it's a lot of stuff to go over. We have time, this whole meeting, to go over this stuff, to hash out whatever it is you have concerns about.
I don't think you can do a sufficient job having it Thursday before.
Cool.
The rules and procedures say very clearly a week before. So even if you say 5 days.
It says typically. It was written that way for a reason. Otherwise, the person who wrote the rules and procedure would have put Tuesday before. So that's if you want to put that up for discussion next time when we do rules and procedures to have it on a certain day. But that's going to be up to everyone and not just me making that change. That'd be something from y'all. So I'll end it on that.
Yeah,
Mr. Chairman, can I move to adjourn the meeting?
We have a motion to adjourn. Any seconds?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you.